Chapter 30. A Broken Blade. Ultramar. The Legata Collegius had the appearance of a gladiatorial amphitheatre, circular with steep tiers of seats surrounding it. The floor was, by tradition, layered with fine white sand from the coasts at Adelphius. Once open to the air, it was now protected from the elements by a weather shield that projected constant summer skies, though outside the snows had started to fall in earnest. The colours of the ancient houses were hung from the upper limits of the grandstand, banners of red and gold, blue and silver, green and black, each large enough to blanket a super-heavy tank. There was a legend across Macragg that it had once hosted blood sports for the old Macraggian battle kings, but Gilliman's researchers had revealed nothing more than contests being resolved with hyperbole and rhetoric. He wondered if today would see those gory myths come to life. The accoutrements and furniture of the court were built from dark mountain trees, almost as black as coal. A few changes had been made to accommodate the ascension of the imperial triumvirate. The long table, where once five Judicia Major had sat, had been removed, replaced with chairs and desks suited to the physique of the Primarchs. Like a vanguard in front of these ultimate arbiters were arranged a dozen smaller chairs and tables, from which it was customary for the Tetrarchs and their Praetor Civilis to listen to appeals put before them against cases already passed by the magistrates of the outer court. Plaintiff and defendant, during the course of normal dispute, would thus proceed from the gates at the southern end of the Legata Collegius, putting the case before an available magistrat. Upon receiving judgment, one day only was allowed for the presentation of evidence, the parties would either agree to the summary judgment or bring their case before the Praetor Civilis. Advocates' fees being arranged such that progressively higher circles of the court risked financial ruin on many, only those that truly believed they had been judged wrongly took their cases all the way to the Judicia Major. Sanguinius had not yet entered, and Gilliman sat alone. The stands were packed, many of the terraces filled with space marines from the legions present on Macragg. The black of the Lion's warriors, the pale armoured White Scars, a red splash of Blood Angels, ebon and silver of the Iron Hands, and the blue-grey of the Wolves from Fenris. Had it not been such a terrible occurrence for their gathering, Gilliman might have been pleased at the proof of his theory that Macragg could be the rallying point of the Imperium's defenders. The cobalt blue of Gilliman's 13th was everywhere, not with the other space marines, but amongst the dresses, coats and robes of the civilian attendees. With their own people. Often there was a carnival atmosphere in the Legata Collegius, as students of law and idlers watched and listened to the proceedings, like the entertainment shows on the civil broadcasts. Today the audience waited with hushed expectation. Five companies of the Praecental Guard had been drafted in to assist the College Vigiles that were tasked with the expulsion of troublemakers and drunkards. Tickets had been issued by lottery, such was the demand to witness history taking place. There had been demand for visual feed teams to be stationed around the arena, but Gilliman had thought this a step too far. The matter at hand was not to be treated as an amusing diversion. In normal circumstance, the Legata Collegius was for civil matters, but the Lion's declaration of Legatus Militant had turned it into a military tribunal. Even that was inadequate for the case about to be held. Such was the nature of Macragg law, the 12 acts of the Legatus Tabulae, that were so sacrosanct that Gilliman had not dared change them, even during his most sweeping reforms. The Primarchs could not bring the case against Conrad Kurz as well as sit as his judges. In a purpose-built box to the right of the thrones, the senior officers of three legions had been assembled. They were both plaintiffs and witnesses, survivors of Kurz's evil to speak on behalf of the dead. The benches for the advocates were empty. Kurz would speak for himself. Not even the famously contentious advocates of the Legata Collegius were willing to sully themselves defending the Night Haunter, not that he would suffer any other to speak his case for him. The murmur of conversation died away as Sanguinius entered without fanfare. He walked across the arena, the tips of his wings carving trails in the white sand. His armour sparkled in the artificial light, the gilded ornamentation glowing as though lit from within. Straw-gold hair cascaded down his shoulders. He held his chin high, piercing eyes scanning the crowds as he sat down.
"How like an emperor,"
Gilliman thought. The general hubbub resumed, and Sanguinius leaned towards Gilliman as he sat.
"Is it right that we do this so publicly, brother?" asked the regent emperor.
"Justice unseen is no justice," Gilliman replied. "That is the basis of the 12 acts, the reason for the Legata Collegius being open to all."
"I worry that we are airing in public matters that should not be given such freedom to spread on the wings of rumour."
Gilliman looked up at his brother, surprised by his turn of phrase and the intent.
"How so? Are we not in the right?"
Sanguinius shook his head.
"It is not our argument that causes me concern. Our deranged brother has sought attention for his cause. He demands the right to vindicate himself. If he is such a destructive flame, why do we labour to give him the oxygen he requires?"
"What whispers would be carried to the further corners in the absence of testimony? The people have seen fire and death brought to Illyrium, and now they must see the reason for it."
"This might be Cursor's plan. His cause found sympathy in Illyrium. His words will be conveyed to the 500 worlds next. He could not have created a greater platform for his hate to spread."
"We cannot stand above the law. Such thinking legitimizes the social vandalism of creatures like Curs. He is entitled to the full protection of our legal process. He has the right to speak. If we deny it to him, he has every right to deny its validity. One must uphold all of the law, or none of it, brother."
Sanguinius smiled, though the expression was tainted by a sorrowful look in his eyes.
"You really believe that, don't you, Rabute?"
The Blood Angel looked away, his stern demeanor returning.
"What other news will spread, do you think? What lies of Horus and Lorgar, what untruths we cannot gainsay, will flow from his lips?"
"It will be our part to counter them, to issue forth the truth. Let us have faith that right makes might. And in that faith, let us, to the end, dare to do our duty as we understand it."
"That is a lot to place on faith, brother."
Gilliman considered the points made by the regent emperor. There was some truth in the assertion that they had curtailed the misinformation spread by Lorgar and his agents. The truth was on their side, but Curs had a manner about him that would stir up discontent. He knew how to find the cracks in a man's resolve and weaken them further. The Night Haunter and his legion had been characterized by others as using terror tactics, but there was far more to Curz's strategies than simple intimidation. He fostered division amongst his enemies, the way Sanguinius exuded unity with his allies.
"I am not above error," the Lord Warden conceded. "You are the Imperator Regis, and I and the law are the implementation of your will."
This confession did not please Sanguinius. He bowed his head, fingers to his brow for a moment.
"Would you do this for me, brother? If you abandon your principles on my whim, what stops me becoming a tyrant?"
"Your heart, my Lord Emperor."
Gilliman had never said anything truer, and he felt for his brother at that moment, knowing that his very reluctance to lead was the greatest reason for him to be the leader.
"No ill can come of your true intent. We are a triumvirate, but you are the emperor to be. The lion and I agree upon this fact. Some single mind must be master, else there will be no agreement in anything."
Sanguinius raised his head and looked around the arena. For a few seconds, Gilliman thought the Imperator Regis might do as he said and declare Curs unfit for trial. Would he be able to follow still, his principles overturned? Was that the price he would have to pay for Imperium Secundus to succeed?
"Bring in the prisoner,"
Sanguinius announced, his voice booming across the amphitheatre. Carried by a vox system to the temporary cage built beneath the Legata Collegius, Sanguinius's announcement raised the heads of the lion and Curs together. The Dark Angel had not left his captive's side for a moment, but Curs seemed resigned to his trial and had remained silent since he had been taken from the Illyrian fane. He broke the silence with a mocking smile.
"The circus begins again."
The lion grabbed the shackles that bound Kurza's hands to a chain belt around his waist. The prisoner was garbed in a kilt of black leather, his white hair tied back. His fingers were tipped with cracked nails, his bony feet the same. Without his armor, he seemed a lot shorter, though he was still rangier than his captor. Kurza's skin was as pallid as a deep-sea fish, blue veins stark against the white. Scars marked much of his body, some so old they were nothing more than pink smudges, others much fresher, like the scabs where the lion's sword had pierced him, and the cut across his throat. Bare feet flapping on the stone, healing spine supported by the rings and calipers of a torsion brace, Kurz did not resist as the lion pushed him from the reinforced cage towards the steps that ascended to the open dome of the Legata Collegius. Alone, the Primarch of the Dark Angels led the Night Haunter into the bright lights, the thousand-strong crowd silent as the object of so much horror and fear emerged from the darkened passageway. Kurz looked around, his face impassive, showing none of his antics. The slightest sneer twisted his lips as the lion brought him across the white sands and set him before Gilliman and Sanguinius.
"If you move from that spot, I will kill you," the lion warned before moving to his chair. "Hello, brothers," said Kurz, turning his gaze from the lion to Gilliman before his stare rested on Sanguinius. "All still alive and well, I see."
Sanguinius stood up.
"Conrad Kurz, you have been brought before the Triumvirate Imperialis to answer for crimes and atrocities committed against the Imperium and its servants. A full account of the accusations will be made in due course, but suffice for the moment to say that you have brought war and orchestrated a campaign of terror and murder. The law of Macragg presumes your innocence on this matter, but do you wish to make any opening statement of defence?"
Kurz looked down at his manacles and rattled them gently, bottom lip pouting. He sighed and returned his gaze to Sanguinius, head slightly cocked.
"Once again, I only did what I was born to do, brother. What we were all born to do."
The lion leaned forward, fixing his gaze on the twisted Primarch.
"You have been given time to review the evidence against you. Do you freely admit to the crimes presented to this court?" "The content of the events discussed are not in error. I contend only that what I have done are not crimes."
An angry whispering broke out amongst the terraces and stands, much of it from the Space Marines present. The lion glanced across at the legionaries ready to give testimony.
"There are many that disagree."
Kurz followed his gaze, eyes narrowing. His expression brightened after a moment.
"Commander Ascalon, I must admit, you are not as well armed as the last time we met." "Filth!" roared the Blood Angel, rising to leave the box.
His companions restrained him, Holguin and Gorod moving to calm the wounded Space Marine. Kurz laughed. A few in the crowd shouted threats and accusations.
"Do you refuse to accept the authority of this court?" asked Gilliman. "Do you dispute our right to sit in judgment?" "Your right!"
Kurz shook his head and licked his lips. He tried to gesture towards the lion, but the shackles restrained him.
"Only the right of the one that brought me here."
The lion shook his head when Gilliman looked at him. He had expected Kurz to resist at some point. Now he was doing so in front of the largest audience.
"Do you have a specific complaint?" Gilliman continued. "This court is not a place for innuendo." "I am afraid that I cannot quote text and line from the laws of Macragg, but I am sure that it is beyond the bounds of the law for a criminal to be tried by another." "You accuse me of breaking the law."
The lion had vowed to himself not to rise to Kurz's barbed remarks. He kept his tone level, his demeanor calm, emulating the detached manner of Gilliman.
"I operate with the full authority of the Regent Emperor and the Triumvirate Imperialis. My actions are founded upon the basis of Legatus Militant, affording me every extension of the law.
Hypocrite! Spat Kurz. You have killed far more citizens of the 500 worlds than I!
Casualties of war as covered by the rules of engagement, the lion said patiently. Regrettable, but not illegal.
The Night Haunter turned his appeal to Gilliman.
Brother, I am surprised to find you support this murderer with your silence. You abrogated your power to a megalomaniac and wonder where it went wrong. Did you not think what would happen when you let the lion out of his cage?
I am not on trial here,
bellowed the lion, knowing that Kurz was seeking to undermine the cohesion of the triumvirate.
But he should be,
Kurz snarled in return, still looking at Gilliman. The Primarch of the Ultramarines frowned and glanced to Sanguinius for guidance. The Emperor opened his palm towards Kurz.
You have made no claim backed by law. I ask again, is there a clear accusation you want to make before we proceed?
Ask our noble brother of Caliban what happened on Alma Mons. Ask him about the Phosphex and Prometheum, the plasma and rad bombs. Was that not excessive? Why did he not use lance strikes and torpedoes to break open the strongholds of the Gate Peak? He sought to inflict as much lasting pain and misery as possible.
Not so, said Gilliman.
The lion realized with a twist in his gut what the Lord Warden was about to say, and rose from his chair to stop him, but too late.
The Imperator Regis forbade the Lord Protector from utilizing orbital bombardment. I must remind you, brothers, that this serpent will do all he can to turn us against each other.
The lion drew his sword and took a step towards Kurz, who looked not so much like a cat that had the cream as had been given the whole dairy.
He stalls and obfuscates in an attempt to avoid the obvious nature of his guilt.
Stay your blade, Sanguinius rose also. There will be no summary execution here.
No orbital attack,
Kurz chuckled, his sly stare fixing on the lion.
My case is made for me. Were not the slopes of the Gate Peak torn asunder from the heavens? I saw with my own eyes the fury of the lion unleashed from above.
We monitored no such attack,
said Gilliman, but he sounded uncertain.
A clever ruse.
Kurz was genuinely impressed, the lion realized.
Drop pods as bombs, gunships as missiles, assault rams turned into torpedoes. All the joy of an orbital attack, none of the mess of admitting you broke your oath.
Gilliman looked as though he had been struck, the blood draining from his face. The lion saw first confusion and then distress, which rapidly became anger. Gilliman surged to his feet, face flushing where it had been pale a moment before.
You lie to us, he roared. You had no intent of keeping your oaths.
Brother, steel yourself, said the lion. Think of where we are.
There were other damning shouts echoing around the arena. Gilliman advanced on him, jabbing an accusing finger.
You had no intention of honoring the command of our emperor. It is not so, said the lion. I withdrew my troops at your behest. Only then did you tie my hands with your vacillation.
Yes,
hands tied,
cackled Kurz, jangling his manacles.
Nobody can do any damage with their hands tied, can they?
Shut up!
The lion raised his blade towards Kurz. One stroke would end his lies and manipulations. The Dark Angel threw out his other hand in appeal to Sanguinius.
It was a decision of the moment, not a forethought. How many of our warriors would have died in pointless assault?
Put down your sword, brother,
Sanguinius did not raise his voice, but his words cut through the tumult that was growing in the arena. His wings spread out, his immense presence suddenly filling the arena, dominating it with sheer force of will. For a few seconds, it seemed as though a golden light flowed from the Blood Angel. The lion hesitated, goaded by Kurz's knowing, mocking leer. One blow would be all it took. He looked back at Sanguinius, seeing both the majesty and the humanity in his brother. His hand dropped to his side.
As my lord commands.
You should have come to us, brother, Sanguinius said. Trusted us, our judgment.
There was no time,
said the lion, but he knew the words sounded weak.
The need of command can be urgent and uncompromising.
There is no excuse.
Gilliman now also directed his words to Sanguinius.
A direct edict was disobeyed. The Lord Protector enforces the will of the Regent Emperor. He does not define it.
Would that task be left to the Lord Warden, perhaps?
The lion retorted.
Only room for the one hand on the tiller?
Yes, Rabute. What about your ambitions?
Crowed Kurz.
Afraid of the competition?
Still your tongue, roared Gilliman. Justice still awaits you.
Justice has hunted me since the day I opened my eyes on night-shrouded Nostramo,
Kurz said with a sad sigh.
But none of you have the guts to level it. You force me to wait until that assassin's blade strikes.
You are all cowards, speaking of conviction, but showing none.
Not born yet is the wielder of the blade that will bring me peace.
You will say no more, said Sanguinius, a warning finger directed at Kurz.
The Blood Angel regarded the lion for a few seconds, seeming to sag inside his armor. His wings furled.
The sword cannot free itself from the hand that wields it. We cannot allow our blades to rule us. They are uncaring masters.
Sanguinius turned away, laying a hand upon the arm of his throne, as though weary, the movement a damning judgment without need for words.
Give me your blade, brother.
Gilliman spoke quietly, but his words seemed thunder loud in the quiet of the amphitheatre. He approached the lion with hand outstretched. Another look to Sanguinius confirmed that the Primarch of the Dark Angels was alone in this. Kurz was still within reach. One strike would be all it took to sever his head properly. Perhaps sensing the lion's thoughts, Gilliman moved, his attention focused on the Night Haunter. The lion did not react until the lion sword was already in the fist of the other Primarch. He turned, thinking to take back his weapon, but was frozen by the look of cold rage in Gilliman's eyes. Jaw twitching, the Primarch of the Ultramarines took the lion's blade in both hands and brought it down sharply across his knee. The lion watched the blade split along the fuller, breaking into two shards that glittered in artificial sunlight as they toppled from Gilliman's spreading fingers. They fell into the white sand at the lion's feet.
Your sword for your oath, Gilliman growled, teeth gritted. Such has become your honor, Knight of Caliban.
Gilliman stepped past the lion and took hold of Kurz. The Night Haunter allowed himself to be led away, smiling back over his shoulder at the dishonored commander of the Dark Angels. Slowly, the lion crouched and reached out a hand to touch the two pieces of the broken sword. He picked them up, sadness turning to anger.
Weakness!
He bellowed, thrusting the shards towards Gilliman's back.
Self-righteousness never conquered the galaxy, brother, and it will not save you from Horus.
Be gone,
he heard Sanguinius say, not turning around. Immediately, the lion regretted his words, remembering the vision that had beset his lord of late. He took a step, but was stopped by the Emperor's next words.
Leave, brother. The triumvirate has ended. You are not welcome in Imperium Secundus.
The lion thought to argue again, but there was no more to be said. He stalked from the Legata Collegius without a backward look.